I make the assumption we will be.
Yeah. You know, I do, too. It's a foregone conclusion unless something happens to him.
Yeah.
You know.
But the same thing's going to happen. I mean, all the sheiks are going down to the Cairo Hilton and wait at the bar till it's over.
Yeah.
You know, while people are being massacred and oil wells are being set on fire and torched. And it just, it's never made a whole lot of sense to me. I think it created a tremendous amount of nationalism for about 3 weeks last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, it kind of was what it was, yeah. You know? 300,000 people died or whatever. You know, we lost 109 people. And, you know, we showed our military might against an underclass. I mean, this was a tune-up fight for a title fight that was never going to happen. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess there's a case to be made for establishing our might in the Middle East. But the way we went about it, I don't know. You know, if you take a look at how it happened and how it evolved and this thing here, whatever this is, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if I agree with all of it.
Well, it's all about oil.
Period.
And,
you know?
Stabilizing the economy. I just, you know, I wonder if all these countries that pledged money to support the effort, I wonder if they made good. You never hear about that.
No, and I don't suppose you ever will, because it really wasn't a significant amount of money anyway.
Oh, I thought it was pretty significant.
Well, you know, I mean, you look at real numbers, the big numbers that we deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Deficit numbers and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, change in Jamaica. But just because the British drew a line in the sand and said, this is Kuwait, and, you know, I mean, I, you know, that didn't have anything to do with anything. If there's no oil there, I mean, you and I are talking about football playoffs or something.
Oh, right? Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
No doubt about it. It was strictly oil and the world economy and so forth and so on.
Yeah. But, and the thing that troubles me the most is we continue to hear phrases like holy war.
Oh, yeah.
I think that you can drop the H and kind of make your own interpretation there. I just think that, are we going to just continue to deceive the American people to the point where we're not going to say what this really is when everybody really knows?
Yeah.
I mean, here, put the headline up here. Oil war confrontation, 8 people killed, the bombers went over there, did this, did that. I mean, you know, this thing here. We send a message, not a crushing blow. You know, the face-off is unavoidable, this and that. But nothing about oil. I'm looking at the Star and Tribune here. Whole first page. Don't see oil in here anywhere.
Really?
The only thing they allude to is the 6 oil wells, or the 8 oil wells that they keep talking about.
Now, is that the liberal bias, the media?
Absolutely. No question about it.
You know, I was going to ask you, there's a lot of extensive media coverage, and I was looking for that liberal bias, and I was really looking hard for it, and I couldn't find it, and I thought, well, gee, maybe this is one of those afflictions those hardcore conservatives just think turns on around election time.
Here's another.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's it.
Is it?
That's the one, you know. And then here's another problem that the media has. After the election is over,
yeah,
you know, it's like you've been a championship fighter and you fight 15 rounds all the time, right? So they make you fight a 4-rounder.
Yeah.
And when it's over, I mean, you still want to keep going, right?
Right.
So this energy that the media is generating for this,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, it's tragic. I think every entity in the media today is fearing that if this thing turns out to be more than it appears to be, they're going to get left in the gate, right?
Yeah, well, they have the CNN experience.
Right, absolutely.
You know, they were left in the gate.
Yeah, everybody was.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. I mean, why don't we just let CNN have the wars and everybody else can tell us, you know, where the light rail transit's going to go?
Yeah, well. Well, you guys at CBS, though, are with your cost cutting.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, you can't cover these things worldwide.
Well, we take everybody's satellite feed when they're not looking now, I think.
Hey, by the way, on Neil Holstein's article last week, does he really have to report to 57 lawyers in New York? Rand Gottlieb.
Yeah, that's the correct figure.
It is.
Yeah, they have, and I, you know, I was kind of curious about that, and we were all arguing around here the other day. I said, you know, that's what's that all about? You know, there are 57 lawyers, but if you look in the CBS directory that we have here,
yeah.
That if you have a small child, if you put that directory underneath them, they can actually drive a vehicle and see over the steering wheel. If you go in there are 57 attorneys listed as part of the CBS legal affiliated team.
Wow.
You know.
That's a hard number then.
They got 15 in-house probably. And, you know, the rest are, you know, like they got a guy that if anybody ever sues us because we said something bad about parakeets. Where's that parakeet lawyer?
Yeah.
Bring him in here. You know, and they got a, you know, a Exxon Valdez lawyer, and they got, you know, they got everything.
Well, did you read that article?
Yeah, I did.
You know, here's my read on that, and I just thought it was indicative of what happens when you shift ownership to New York City. That whole Joe McFarland debacle, and I really think it was a debacle on the part of CCO to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Just wasn't handled right. But the fact that they wouldn't let him come in his last night because of the 57 lawyers in New York, I don't know. I don't think that played very well here in the Twin Cities. Obviously.
Here's the big problem with all that, though.
What's that?
Okay. Joe McFarland got a great package to leave.
Yeah.
Joe McFarland knew when his last day was. I mean, he designed his own last day.
Yeah.
Right? So when it got down to his last day, he wanted to do one more show.
Yeah.
So...
why didn't they let him?
Because they had a determinated contract that ended with the 1992.
Let him work for free for one day.
Legally, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
If it were local ownership, if Midwest Communications still owned CCO, I bet they would have let him...
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What happens if Joe McFarland comes in here, sits down at the microphone, and a ceiling tile breaks loose and goes through the middle of his head, and he's killed?
What you do is you whip up a little waiver form. And by the way, your insurance coverage would cut. You don't have to be an employee to have coverage.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a problem.
Well.
And if he said something awful, I mean, what you do is, if they were worried about that, you have him sign a little waiver ahead of time.
Yeah.
But
I just can't understand how when a guy knows when and listen, nobody loves Joe McFarland more than me. We night guys suffer together.
Yeah.
When a guy tells you when his last night's going to be.
Yeah.
And then he wants one more night.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
They should have let him though. I mean, they really should have let him all those years and all that contribution he made to the company. And granted, he got a great package. I don't know what it was, but.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was massive.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was massive.
Golden parachute time, huh?
Massive.
Yeah.
But
I'm looking for a tin chute someday.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking for that aluminum foil chute that'll get me halfway to the street before I collapse into the bus stop. But
no, they should have let him work. I think lots of people feel that way. It just seemed like a cold, big corporation at work.
Let me ask you this though.
Yeah.
Don't you think on the last day of his contract, he should have made that his last show?
I think, wasn't it just kind of the way the article, if you believe the article, it was just a misunderstanding on the
schedule?
Yeah.
It said he was supposed to work New Year's Eve, right?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of hard to misunderstand.
I mean,
at the end of the year.
Yeah, here's the deal.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve, right, is in that time spot.
Yeah.
Is the 31st of December.
Yeah, but
it's not January 1st.
But if he wants to work one more day, big deal. You know, I don't understand that. Why not just let him do that?
Okay.
But
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Just one last comment. Marv Levy, he's going to start Jim Kelly. I mean, I know the guy's been reported to have an IQ of genius level.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. I think maybe he's too smart.
I think, all things considered, you take into consideration every single football variable that you could ever come up with.
Yeah.
You start the guy that is responsible for the biggest comeback in the history of the National Football League.
Absolutely.
Then you start the guy, if you don't want to start him.
Yeah.
Then you start the guy that goes into Pittsburgh and wins on the road.
Yeah.
Which turns out to be the same guy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think they got a rhythm going.
Yeah.
You know?
And Kelly's going to have to be rusty.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
And I'm not so sure at this point that Frank Reich isn't a better quarterback.
He'd look good in the Viking
uniform. I mean, you talk about a guy you could fry eggs on.
Yeah.
I mean, is this guy hot or what?
Yeah. I can't understand that Levy would do that. But
I don't either. Jim Kelly's my guy. But I don't know. In a big game, Kelly's never really shown me everything he needs to show me in comparison to what Frank Wright showed me in that come-off-the-canvas job of all time.
Yeah, I got to admit, after it went 35-3, I left and caught it at the end.
Absolutely.
me and a whole bunch of other people, I think.
You're talking to one.
Yeah.
I left him for dead at halftime. And then in the car, heard the first touchdown.
Yeah.
And mentally eliminated him forever.
Yeah.
Knowing that they couldn't win.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, period. Went right over to Minnesota Public Radio or something, you know, and listened to the British explanation of why antiques are so valuable.
Well, I went to Kentucky, Indiana. That was a basketball game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I was playing that day.
Yeah. But I just couldn't believe that he was going to go with Jim Kelly here. And I'm not so sure that, you know, it's like the guy said on the radio here the other night when they talked to Hank Stram. They're going to ask a doctor on Friday if he is 100% ready to go.
Yeah.
And if he isn't, you just about have to go with Frank Reich.
Oh, you got to.
I mean, no question about it.
Yeah, you got to.
Now,
do you think if they go with Kelly, that say Russ Culverhouse would the line would be affected negatively towards Buffalo? I mean, I think it's got to be.
It's the first question I'm going to ask him tomorrow night.
Okay.
First question I'm going to ask.
Well, I'll be listening.
Okay. Bruce, thanks very much. Nice to talk to you.
Good luck on your new time slot.
Thank you very much. Bye bye. Night talk with Dark Star Long Green with the news.
Degrees flurries in the Twin Cities, 1256. President-elect Clinton is expressing full support for Wednesday's airstrike on Iraq by U.S., British, and French warplanes. He says he cannot, though, rule out future attacks. In the New York Times, Clinton says if Saddam Hussein follows international norms, there could be normal relations between Washington and Baghdad. Back in the Twin Cities, some members of military families gathered at the Backham headquarters in Savage to support each other following the Allied air attack Wednesday afternoon. Kristen Carlson is concerned about her husband, William, who's on board the USS Kitty Hawk.
I know I'm worried about him, but hoping that he is okay. But I'm very worried about him. I don't know exactly what's going through his head.
For military families interested in the Backham support group, the phone number is 894-2657. Employees of the state of Minnesota are ready to help reinvent government, but want job security as part of the bargain. That word from Council 6 of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, which represents 22,000 state and university workers. AFSCME lobbyist Elliot Snide says the union wants input in proposals to reorganize or merge state agencies, wants assurances that no jobs will be lost, and wants training for workers whose jobs change in the process.
If this is simply a way to make budget cuts and cause layoffs, if this is simply a way to seek takebacks from the workers in terms of their wages, hours, and working conditions, and not a real serious look at problems and how to solve them over the long term, then there'll be a problem with the employees. But we want to stress the positive, and that is the employees are willing to engage in the debate. AFSCME members want to produce good public services. We think we do a good job at it. We think you can always improve something, and we're prepared to get involved in it. And we hope these principals are involved in any kind of discourse about reorganization.
Governor Carlson is expected to discuss reinventing government during his State of the State address. None of Minnesota's 265 judges has taken Governor Arne Carlson's recommendation to reject a 6% salary increase that would freeze their pay at the 1992 level. The raises are going to appear in their Friday paychecks. Meanwhile, both DFL and independent Republican leaders in the Minnesota Senate agreed legislators shouldn't get a pay increase this month. But a squabble over how a salary freeze should be accomplished and how long it should last has escalated. Minority Leader Dean Johnson has threatened legal action, and Majority Leader Roger Moe said Tuesday he's willing to be taken to the Supreme Court. No luck for either basketball team tonight at Target Center under interim coach Sidney Lowe. Avery Johnson racked up 17 points. San Antonio 89, Minnesota 81. And at Iowa City in their first conference road game, the Gophers faced A.C. Earle and the Iowa Hawkeyes, who won 84-77. The WCCO weather story is next.
Can it be true? The honeymoon's over? No one's going to believe it.
Believe it. Nearly 700,000 people have enjoyed the legendary love and marriage musical comedy I Do at Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. And now, after 22 years, I Do is closing. If you want to see it one last time, or if you're one of those that's been putting it off, call 934-1525, because soon I Do will be a fond Minnesota theater memory.
It's beyond belief. I got to call my sister in Toledo, my barber, my dentist. I Do is really closing.
Don't get hysterical. There's still time. Call Chanhassen Dinner Theaters at 934-1525.
When you come down with a and a, you need a medicine tough enough to handle and at the same time, That's Alka-Seltzer Plus cold and cough medicine. It relieves your tough cold symptoms and cough, because we've added the leading cough suppressant to the proven cold relief of Alka-Seltzer Plus to help your cold and cough feel better at the same time. Alka-Seltzer Plus cold and cough medicine. It's tough medicine. Use as directed.
Weather update now. Here's Bill Anderson.
Well, Kurt, radar is still showing a few areas of light snow, but I really don't anticipate much accumulation overnight. Just some areas of light snow and flurries here and there in east central Minnesota. And the temperatures under the cloudy skies will drop only very slightly down into the upper teens. Winds will stay light during the night, north, northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. The upcoming day, a mostly cloudy day, a cooler day, and a chance of flurries in the morning. The afternoon high about 20 degrees. I'll have more details right after CBS News. We have a cloudy sky now, some flurries here at the Weather Center, and 20 degrees.
This is Kurt Lundgren. News you want, people you know. WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul at 830. CBS News next. It's 1 o'clock in the Central Time Zone.